This message. It is week 8 in the series, and we are looking at the moments where Jesus proclaimed himself as I am, all found in the book of John. Last week, Pastor Brad brought us the message of that I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you got to catch his message last week? Guys, an amazing teaching on how he broke that out for us and kind of laid it out. It was an amazing message, and I hope that you loved it and received it. Today, we are talking about I am the true vine. So let's get right in to the scriptures found in John chapter 15, starting with verse 1, and it says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, my disciples. Can I get an amen for God's word this morning? So let me just unpack a little bit of what we just read with Jesus making the statement that I am the true vine. So if you're following in scripture, and basically in chapter 14 of the book of John, the disciples have now left the upper room. They have made their way through the city, and they are walking through the Kidron Valley on their way to the Mount of Olives. Now in the Kidron Valley back in the day, it was filled with ancient vineyards. And Jesus stops, and in the midst of all these vineyards, he says, I am the true vine. Now, for a first century Jew to hear somebody say that I am the true vine, there is tons of imagery of history and of scripture that are going through their minds. The vine in the Old Testament, it was always Israel or the people of God. And it was almost used in a negative tone. In Isaiah 5:7, here's a positive one. It says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. But in Jeremiah 2:21, it says, I planted you a choice vine from the purest stock. How then did you turn degenerate and become a wild vine? But here is Jesus standing in the midst of all these vines and grapes, and he's saying, I am the true vine. And what he is saying is that I am doing what you could not do for yourself. I am being what you could have never been. You are connected to me. Come on, guys, give me an amen. We are connected to him, and I want your life to be fruitful and that you will be a part of a great harvest.
I thought we needed to start this morning with a joke. I didn't know Matt was going to put that picture of us up there. That was the joke right there. Aha. Anyway, when Matt asked me to join him on this sermon, he asked me a couple months ago when they had decided to do this series, and let me just tell you, I'm not a professional speaker, and I am very hesitant whenever someone asks me to speak. I have to get like a real sign from God because I'm not in a hurry to get up here. So I told him, yeah, I'll pray about it. So I kept putting it off, and he kept asking me, I'm praying about it. So finally one morning I said, okay, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to look at this passage, and I'm going to see if the Lord really, you know, speaks to me through it, or if it resonates with me somehow. So I get my big, you know, Bible, sit down with it, kind of just flip it open, and I immediately pick up my phone, though, to look up where the scripture is. So I put, I am the vine, and it says John 15. So I looked down at my Bible to start turning to John 15. Would you guess where I had opened to? It was exactly John 15. So I said, okay, God, I have my sign. I know I'm supposed to speak this morning. So if I didn't, I think I would have been struck by lightning or something. So here I am. But 20 years ago, I can't believe it's been 20 years ago, but a little book called Secrets of the Vine came out by Bruce Wilkinson, and everybody was really excited to read it because we'd all read Prayer of Jabez. How many of you guys have read the Prayer of Jabez? Like almost every Christian has read that book. And then he came out with this one. So how many of you have read Secrets of the Vine? A little less, but some people here have read that. This book impacted me so much more than the Prayer of Jabez did. I really grasped some of the teachings in it, and I put them into practice, and I have been practicing some of this stuff for 20 years, so it's in my wheelhouse, so I'm excited to share it with you this morning. But our first point today is kind of Christianity 101. Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener, and we are the branches. In John 15:1, Jesus says, I'm the true grapevine, my Father is the gardener. And then in 15:5, he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, you know, these are some of the last words of Jesus, you know, some of the last teachings. And anytime someone passes on, we always want to know, what did they say at the end? What were their last words? Well, these are some of Jesus' last teachings. So we need to really look at this very closely. And Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. So what does a grapevine actually look like? And so we have a picture of it. It's not the greatest picture, but you get the idea. The vine of the grapevine is actually that stalk part in the middle. And it is about 36 to 42 inches high, about waist height. The vine ends with a gnarly, kind of large gnarl. And then out of that grow the branches, and they grow in either direction along a trellis. And you've seen probably vineyards. How many of you guys have been to a vineyard? And you've seen how they're kind of usually attached to something, wires or something. So here's something to think about. It's kind of obvious. Only by remaining attached to the vine can a branch produce fruit. Now, God is the gardener. He knows that in order to bear fruit, the branches must be pruned. And Matt's going to get into that in a little bit. But let's just ask the obvious question here. What is the purpose of a grapevine? Grapes. Grapes, and more grapes, right? Don't you want your grapevine to bear the most possible fruit, right? Is the purpose of a grapevine to have a lot of leafy branches? No. I mean, you could walk by a grapevine, it could be really full of leaves, and you kind of just think, oh, it's really fruitful. But if you look closely, there might not actually be any fruit. So is that what it was meant to do? Bear a bunch of really pretty green leaves? No. So if there is no fruit, it's not serving its purpose. So what is fruit? I want to just take us through the basics of what fruit is according to Scripture. First thing is the best thing is soul winning. The Lord wants us to win souls. John 5:16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. That lasting fruit, that is souls. That's people. What is the only thing we can take to heaven with us? It's people. We can't take our houses, our cars, our jewelry, our stocks, and all the things that we've invested in. That's all just going to be garbage. All that we can take with us is people. Now, another type of fruit is good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there are good works that God's already got in mind for you and for me. And all we have to do is obey God and walk in them. There's answered prayer as another type of fruit. John 15:7 says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. So you're going to have answered fruit if you are a fruit-bearing Christian. Another type is the fruits of the Spirit. We're all familiar, right, with this? Galatians 5:22, we see the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you memorized those when you're younger? I did. My mama made me memorize those. And then Peter adds even more of the inner fruits in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. He talks about moral excellence, knowledge of God's word, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, and brotherly affection. These are all awesome things, right? How many of you guys want more of these fruits in your life? I'm raising both hands if I could. But, I mean, we want to be fruitful Christians. And, you guys, I think you might have figured out by now that the gardener's big picture that he's trying to accomplish is he's trying to make you more like his son, Jesus. Do you see that? Now, let's just assume everybody here this morning, we're all a branch, right? That means we're all believing Christians. We're all attached to the vine. Pastor Matt right now is going to help you figure out, are you a branch that's producing fruit? And if so, how much fruit are you producing? And how God the gardener wants to make you more productive.
So the second point, you guys, is your reward for being productive is pruning. And let me say that again. Your reward for being productive is pruning. You will be pruned regularly. So John 15:2, I just want to go back. We're going to be kind of staying on this scripture and then one other, which is verse 5. But he says is that he cuts off every branch. Now, who are we speaking of? He. It's God. It's the gardener, okay? Or in other translations, the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So to a believer or to a Christian, or as Pastor Brad talked about last week, as somebody of the way, it is to bear fruit. That's our job. It's what Lori just kind of talked about. Now, here's one thing. Now, if you're visiting here today and you're saying, I don't know you, I don't trust you yet, but I'm going to say something to you that I hope all of us will receive. Guys, listen to this. If fruit is not coming from our lives, we need to ask ourselves, am I operating with a genuine faith? If no fruit is coming from our lives, do I even have a genuine faith? I was always under the assumption that when God was pruning me, that it always had something to do with discipline or correction. But I want you to know this morning that that is not always true. Let me tell you what discipline is. Discipline is, it's that I've done or I'm doing something wrong. That's why I'm receiving the discipline. Because I have done or I'm doing something wrong. But when I'm being pruned, the pruning part is that I've done or I'm doing something right. Think about that, you guys. That's the whole reason why he prunes, is because we want more of that in the next harvest. Pruning is making room. It's creating for a bigger harvest. It might be painful. I might not understand why God is pruning this from my life, but sometimes God has to take away good things so that we can experience great things. Can I get an amen? He has to take away the good so that we can experience the great. Guys, let me just give you a couple of thoughts, some visuals here. Sometimes that's taking people that we love out of our, you know what I mean? Pulling them away. When we left California to come here, I left every Stewart that I know in my family to come and be in Virginia in 2007. And along the way, I remember driving going, what am I doing? Why did I leave everything that, you know, but God was pruning me for something greater. Maybe it's replacing a good job for a better job. Maybe it's taking away your source of significance, where you were known for this, or this is what I used to, but God takes that away so that you can walk into something that's even greater. How about money and possessions? Pruning is not always easy. Branches bearing no fruit are taken away and never to be seen again. That's what the scripture's saying. That's what Jesus himself was saying, that when the non-bearing branches are removed, it strengthens the other branches. Think about that. When those are taken away, that the others can begin to bear even more fruit. And there's some great imagery here. Think about the things that just suck the life out of you. Think about this, that you are desperately wanting to be removed from your life. Did you know that if you look up, if you went and you Googled a vineyard or a vine, and they'll put a picture of a vine and the branches are going out, well, they have, in some of them, they have these images of, they're called suckers. That's what they call them. And they're just little branches that grow out that are literally sucking away the nutrients, and they don't produce anything. So the gardener will come through, and he'll just cut those suckers out. God, I don't know how else to say it, but that's what he does. The sucker branches are cut away. The gardener, Father, our God, Jehovah, Elohim, comes along, and he cuts away, he prunes those things that are going to take away from us having more fruit in our lives. But think about why Jesus would take the time in Scripture, guys, listen to this, to actually talk about cutting away versus pruning. Cut off, being taken away. Well, here's some of the things. If I had some suckers in my life that I would want out or that you would want out, how about anger or depression or a warring spirit, anxiety, hatred for somebody else? How about corruption? Church, hello, false theology. Ruthless. The billions of people around the world that are addicted to porn, how about lust being torn out of people's lives? That it would be thrown away and never to be seen again. Only fruitful branches are pruned. If they're not fruitful, they're cut away and taken away. The process of pruning is for more. Everybody say more. More of what? Fruit. We want more fruit in our lives. If you look at the scripture, and it's going to come up for you, in the Greek, every branch that bears fruit, that does bear fruit, that every branch is pos. Pos in Greek means all branches, everyone. All manner, whoever bears fruit, they will be pruned because God wants your harvest this year to be greater next year. Church, listen, I'm telling you, we can get into this place where we go, well, yeah, but church, when we did this 10 years ago, or well, this is what we did last year. God's like, okay, that was a great harvest, but what I want for you this year is to be greater in the next year. Come on, give me an amen, church. That's what he's doing there. When I was a junior in high school, I had just finished basketball season, and the track coach approached me and a couple of the other guys and said, hey, would you guys be interested in doing high jump and long jump for us? We were like, sure. And so we had done some high jump training and whatever, but the coach really pulled me out one day, and he was really kind of focusing on me with long jump. So guys, with long jump, I don't know if you understand this, if you've seen it, but these guys or girls know exactly how many steps they're going to take in their stride before they hit this thing called the board, or this, it's like a white stripe. And the goal is that you want to land on the board to launch, because if you step over it, you're DQ'd. If you land in front of it, you're taking away inches to your jump. Is everybody following me? So the coach goes, all right, Stuart, I want you to, you know, do some jumps for me. Well, of course, I'm missing the board. I'm landing in front of the board. A couple times I fell like straight on my face on my landing into the sand. But finally, I'm starting to get it. And the whole time the coach is talking to me and giving me instructions, guess what he's doing? He's pruning me. And every time I'm getting a little bit better. And finally, I land in about three times. And he's got these little flags out there. And he comes out. He goes, okay, Stuart, come here. So we walk out there. And he goes, this is where you landed. So I'm looking back from the board where I launched. And all of a sudden, he goes, now that's good. He goes, but you're going to be landing 5 to 6 feet here in the next couple weeks. And guys, I couldn't imagine that I'm supposed to be landing out there when everything that I could do was getting me to here. So he begins to prune me. He's got me training. He's got me doing these things where when I leave off the board, he's teaching me about trigger muscles, that all the muscles need to fire at the same time, that when I launch, all muscles are moving at the same time, firing. And so he's got me doing this. He's got me honing in on my steps to come down and hit the board. And then he takes a tractor tire, cuts it in half, that was cut in half, and he puts it about 3 feet or 4 feet in front of the launch board. Now he's making me go up this way more instead of this way. In the first couple times that I tried to jump over the tractor tire, I'm hitting it with my foot and falling on my face. I'm just landing a few feet on the other side. I'm looking at him like, I don't understand why you're doing this, but he's pruning me. Pretty soon, you guys, the speed, hitting the board, launching this way with my muscles all triggering and firing at the same time. And guys, guess what? Not only did I land where he said I should be landing, I was landing beyond where he was calling me to land. Guys, listen to this. The goal of my coach was to get more distance out of me. When God decides to prune your life, how you respond to what he is doing makes all the difference. Because the goal for the gardener is to get the most from his branches. Some will complain. Some will rebel. Some will compromise, and others will totally run away from God when he starts the pruning process. So guys, Lori's going to help me out with this. I want you to visualize we're in a vineyard now. God, the dresser, or let's just say the gardener has gone through, And he's kind of already went through the rows of the vineyards, and I'm following him. He's getting ready to go and call the people to come into the harvest. Well, when I get to the first row, I see this basket off, and Lori's got it in her hands, and I'm like, wait a second, in this basket there's no fruit. There's no evidence of grapes. There's nothing in there. So what I understand what the gardener's going to do with that row is he going to do some serious cutting away. Is everybody following me? Because it is producing nothing. In John 15:2, look at this. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Everybody say no fruit. It's got to go away. It's cut off and it's thrown away. Guys, and then I go into the second row. So now I can see from a distance, as soon as I see the basket, well, look at that, man. There's some good clusters of grapes in there. So there's evidence that the pruning is working because we see some fruit. Basket 2, where in John 15:2 it says, while every branch that does bear fruit. So we see some fruit here. So that's a good sign. So then now I'm getting excited. So now, guys, we're stepping into the third row. And from a distance, I can already tell, man, this is going to be a great row. John 15:2, it says he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Everybody say more fruitful. Now, Lori's buff, but I don't know what's going to happen here on this next row. But guys, isn't that a good sight right there? That looks like fruit. That's evidence that God's pruning is taking in. Then I get to the fourth row, and my eyes catch something. It says here in John 15:5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Guys, listen. She can try to pick that up, but this is where you need two or three or maybe four people to come and help you collect the harvest. And that is what the body of Christ is built to do when God is pruning each and every one of us, that we're creating so much fruit that it takes a body to collect it, a body to celebrate it, a body to be thankful for what the Lord is doing in the harvest. Can I get an amen? This is where we want to be. That the fruit is just coming out. It's just much fruit. And it's all to the glory of God. Look at this scripture found in the Message version. It says this. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. More room, more growth, more productivity, more spiritual power and freedom than you could possibly imagine. Let's become branches that allow God to be God, the gardener, and allow the power of Christ to flow through each and every one of us. Each and every branch connected and bearing much fruit. Say it one more time, much fruit. Much fruit. So Lori, you have a story about pruning that you wanted to share, so share that with them.
So Matt talked about how sometimes pruning is hard, and sometimes the Lord's pruning really good things from our lives. And so Matt shared about how when we left 3-in-1 Church, the church we had planted, when we'd been there almost 9 years. So we God told us to leave in 2018, and it just did not really make a lot of sense to me. People were asking, why would you leave? Was there something wrong? No. Was the church not doing well? No, it was doing great. I mean, we had a lot of money in the bank. We were looking for property. I mean, we were just, it was growing. Good things were happening. But the Lord had told us to step down. So out of just sheer obedience, because we had no other good reason to do it, we had stepped down. And I thought maybe the Lord just wanted us to take an extended sabbatical. We had been in ministry for 30 years, full-time ministry. So it was nice to step down for a while and just to see what it was like to be an average person that, visits churches and chooses a church. And we did all that. But I still didn't really fully understand until we started studying for this message. And I started studying the idea of mature pruning. I watched some videos about when they prune a really mature, older vine. And I was like, oh, that was what God was doing with Matt and I. He was doing a deep cut on something very good just so that we could have even more fruit. And I just want to say, Harvest, that I believe God has Matt and I now stepping into our much fruit season. And you are going to be part of that. And I believe he's going to have you stepping into your much fruit season. And together, here we are at a church called Harvest. we're going to see, I believe, the greatest harvest we've seen. Amen? Isn't that exciting? So thank God. So pruning is hard. It wasn't easy those 2 years, but it was necessary for God to bring us into this much fruit season. Now, I want to emphasize what I believe is the best thing about this passage, and it's a promise. John 15:7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I've always loved that scripture. You know, you're going to get what you want, but hold on. Abide in the Greek is a word that's called meno. And this word abide, meno, is used 11 times in the John 15 passage. So Jesus is really emphasizing this. He is saying it over and over, almost in every sentence. And it can be translated abide, remain, dwell, remain in union. It means an enduring personal communion. See, Jesus doesn't want us to do more for him. He wants us to be more with him. Now, a couple weeks ago, I went to swim. This is my preferred exercise is swimming. Now, before you think that I am this major swimmer that wears the swim cap and does all the hardcore laps, no. I put my hair up in a bun so I don't ever get my head wet. And I hold a kickboard and I just kick back and forth across the pool. Okay, true confession. But I love it, and I really love it when I get to the pool and there's no one there. That is my joy. I just think, okay, Lord, we get to have all this time together, and I just spend the time praying and abiding. And this particular day, I was so excited. I got in the pool, nobody there. And I start kicking, and the first thing I said to the Lord was, okay, Lord, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? Just show me what you want me to do. And it was so clear the Lord responded with, why do you think I always want to be telling you what to do? And I was like, whoa. It was like he started to show me, Lord, you know this. You know I just want to spend time with you. You know I just want to hear from you, hear about your day. I want you to tell me who you think I am. I want to tell you who I say you are. And it was like, oh, Lord, I'm so silly. I started thinking about what would it be like if I got home from work and I sat down with Matt and said, okay, honey, what do you want me to do? Give me, no, it's not good. I mean, what a weird, bizarre relationship, right? Yeah, no. So what do? We share about our day. We talk to each other. We just enjoy each other's company. Sometimes we don't even talk at all. We just sit together. And that's what the Lord wants from us. I want to read to you. I left my book. That's why I left it up here. Okay. All right. I want to read to you what Bruce Wilkinson talks about this. And I'm going to have that picture again of the trunk and the branch. Yeah. He says, picture the place where ancient trunk meets vigorous branch. Here is the touch point, the place where abiding happens. Here is the connection where life-giving nutrients in the sap flow through to the developing fruit. The only limitation on the amount of sap that goes to the fruit is the circumference of the branch where it meets the vine. That means that the branch with the largest, least obstructed connection with the vine is abiding the most and will have the greatest potential for a huge harvest, huge crop. And this brings me to my third point, which is abiding more and doing less equals much fruit, a supernatural multiplication of your efforts. Wow, don't you want that? Doing less? I like the doing less part. Abiding more and doing less. So what is abiding? Abiding, first idea here is giving God quality, devoted time. So setting aside that time with the Lord with no agenda, no checklist. It's not like I have to read this many scriptures, I have to read this many chapters, and then I have to do all these different prayers. No, just spend time with the Lord. God, what's on your agenda today? What do you want to do? How do you want us to, you know, what do you want us to do for the next few minutes? On our date nights, you know, we'll just at the beginning of our date, what do you want to do now? What's up? You know, and it's kind of the same with the Lord. What's on your mind, Lord? What do you want to do right now? And just follow up with whatever he leads you to do. And then the second thing is interacting with God throughout your day. You know, God wants to be a part of your entire day. And I really learned this when I was a school teacher, because God knows I had to pray without ceasing throughout my day, in between classes, before the class. There was a lot of prayer going on. And I have always believed in prayer because of that time in my life. Now, a branch only has one purpose. And you might think it is to bear fruit. But you know what? A branch by itself can't actually bear fruit. It can only really draw the nutrients from the vine. It can't grow anything by itself. It has to just be right attached to the vine, drawing those nutrients. If you are not abiding, you are in effect disconnected from Jesus. And I want to show you, is this where I want to do the branch? Okay, so this is a branch. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Just keep that in mind. So if you're not abiding, you're in effect disconnected from Jesus. You're what Jesus called the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs. You might look like something's happening on the outside. You might go to church. You might even serve. You might raise your hands during worship. But if you're not abiding, you're a dead branch. So how can you spot a dead branch Christian? You'll look at their life. There's no fruit. Abiding also refreshes and strengthens us to do God's work. Now, I know one of my pet peeves is when Christians tell me they don't have time to do devotions. You don't have time not to do devotions. It is imperative that you are spending time with the Lord. And the Lord really taught me this 10 years ago. I was going through a really difficult season. We were planting the church. I was working on a master's degree at Regent. I was working as a producer at CBN, and I had 3 kids at home to take care of. And I was losing it. I was suffering from anxiety, and it was a bad time. And so I really was crying out to the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? I don't have time. I don't have time to spend with you. And my son at the time was going through basketball training. He was getting ready for basketball season, and their team was doing 2-a-days. And did you want to share this?
You know, when I coached high school for 15 years, when we would do 2-a-days, you guys, the whole point of that was, we called them, you could call it hell week or hell weeks or whatever you wanted to call it, but we'd had guys that would drop out, they would just quit, didn't want to have any part of it if that was the way the season was going to go, and then others, they stuck it out. But the whole thing about the 2-a-days was, well, at some point at the end, I would have 30 guys trying out for a team, and I could only carry 12 to 15, and so there was a cut. Guys, get that visual, that we just had to cut away those that weren't going to be a part of the team.
Yeah, so the Lord started to show me this whole 2-a-day idea, and he said, Lori, you don't need less devotion time. You need to go to 2-a-days. And so I began to have devotions in the morning and at night during this extremely busy season of my life. And it actually somehow started to feel like I had less to do, because God was showing me where I could cut and where things could cut out of my day. And let's go back to that promise I read, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You see, when we spend time with God, we become like Jesus, and we ask for the same things that God wants to do, that God wants to, and his desires become our desires. So when you abide more, you will see a supernatural multiplications of your efforts. You'll experience more fruit, more answered prayer. You'll experience abundance. And I just brought this branch up to basically say that this branch looks like something's going on, right? It's got the green leaves and everything. I could even stick this in some water, and it might last a little bit. But really, you guys, because it's been cut off, it's already dead. It's already dead. So I just pray that this whole idea of abiding, this whole idea of abundance, that this picture's made clear to you. You have to remain attached to Jesus. You have to make all the effort you can to get a bigger branch, to get that bigger circumference attached to the vine so that more nutrients, more of his life-giving energy is flowing to you and showing you what to do.
Amen. Worship team, if you want to come on up. I wanted to show you guys real quickly this picture. Go ahead and put that picture up. Guys, how many of you guys kind of recognize this famous picture, or you've seen other pictures of Caleb and Joshua bringing back the fruit or the evidence of what they found in the land of Canaan? And guys, I wanted to put this up because it really is a visual of the promised land that God promises even in our own lives, that if we will abide in him, if you will abide in me, this could be the fruit that would come from your life. God the gardener will give us the ability to be fruitful. Guys, listen to this. In any season. Church, come on, give me an amen on that. That in any season of life that we're going through right now, that God, because of his pruning and taking care of us, that we could be fruitful in any season. A basket so full that it would take two or more to carry the harvest away from your life visually. No matter what season you are in, God can use you. No matter how it looks, we cannot imagine what God is going to do. We cannot predict the size of the harvest that we will experience in our own lives, in our homes, and in our church. We just need to remain and to abide in him. To remain and to abide in him. The pruning process might be painful. The taking away might be hard, but God wants the best for you. Jesus wants you to remain in him, and the result will be beyond anything that you and I could possibly imagine. I want one more picture to come up for you guys. Check this out. This is in Napa Valley. That vine is 7 feet in diameter. The vines are so, the branches are so heavy that they've had to build like a support network just to hold them up, and it produces 8 tons. Everybody say 8 tons. 8 tons of grapes every year. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for Harvest Assembly, amen? That we could be doing what God is doing through us, and we have this beautiful support network to hold up the branches. We hold each other up as God prunes us, and we see greater harvest in our life. God wants us to see us break through in abundance. Can I get an amen? And we're going to have the communion come forward. If we bring our ushers, we'll come up. And worship team, if you'll just begin to sing or just play some music in the background.